Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. So we'll sing that. This is not in the praise book, so just have to follow on the screen the words. Good morning. Good to see you all here on another beautiful Sunday morning, and just waiting for some moisture to come out of the clouds. At least I don't think it is yet, but in God's time it will. So welcome. Some announcements I have to go over before we continue on with the service. Today, as you've seen in the bulletin, it is the last day of Sunday school classes for the children. For the young adults too, I'm pretty sure. The older adult group is still having service. having class. So if you want to jump in and join them, I think they're in the Gospel of Luke yet. Is that right? Chapter 22 in the Gospel of Luke. Just got to 23. Okay. So church is still regular time. That doesn't change until after Vacation Bible School program Sunday. But as far as the children and young adults Sunday school, today was the last for the kids with their ice cream cone certificate. That will come out in the June issue of the Salem Spire. So be watching that, please. It should be in there for the children that you have. Okay, ladies, the salad supper is this Wednesday night here at 6:30. There is a podiatrist coming from Sioux Falls, and as you see the title, it's Putting Your Best Foot Forward for Christ. So the sign-up sheet for that is in the narthex. If you have not signed up, you need to today. Also, ladies from our church, that means as well that you bring a salad with you, large enough to share with others. Okay? You can bring guests. Just note that by your name, how many guests you're bringing. All right? Okay. Vacation Bible School, which starts on Memorial Day evening. The snack sheets in the social hall, there's still a lot of empty spaces for that. I don't know if we're just forgetting to look after church, so I'll try to say something after church. To remind you, please, to look at that if you have not. We have a lot of kids this year, praise the Lord, that we're able to do it, and we're excited about it, but it takes everyone all doing our part in various ways. Two other things, the church floor project, which social hall and all the way down the Sunday school wing, a couple other places. I haven't had any amount in the bulletin. The goal when we started that offering was $35,000, and you know what? We're there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, to God be the glory. Amen. So, but as we start, after Vacation Bible School, there will be need for help. In various phases of it, men and or women. So there is a sign-up sheet in the information cabinet in the narthex for that as well. We're just wanting names, phone numbers of if you'd be willing to help, that at least we have a list when we know, okay, we're doing this on this certain day and this is how many people we need, that we can call ahead of time for that reason. So that's what that is about. And lastly, this winter clothing drive. This is for the Center of Hope in Sioux Falls. Yeah, we're doing it in the summer. It is only winter clothing that they want, not spring and summer clothes. Winter clothing, adult bicycles, new or used. If they're used, this should be a given, I guess, but they need to be functioning, right? It can't be a bicycle that's not functioning, okay? So those things needed to be here by the last Sunday of May, all right? A lot of other announcements I will let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, as we gather here once again in your presence, in this sanctuary, we come in your name, Jesus. The name that is above every name. And Lord, as you've drawn us here by your Spirit, we do bow our hearts and we bow our knees before you. For we know, Jesus, that you are seated at the right hand of the Father. And we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with all that is within us. We are so thankful for all that you have done for us through the cross. For our salvation, for your presence in our lives, for the working and moving of your Spirit in our midst each and every day, that as we are gathered here, that you would fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit of God, that we can go forth from this place anointed with fresh oil to live in this world, to be Jesus as you tell us we are, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. So fill us, we pray, to overflowing once again as we worship you in spirit and in truth. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our opening hymn is, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, number 11. Let's stand as we sing this, please. Singing unto the Lord. Thank you. Well, just take a moment, greet those around you, however you are comfortable doing before you're seated. Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here. I have several things written down from Fred Seiler, a note from his wife Terry. She says, thanks again for all the prayers. They are working. Double exclamation marks. Treatment is working. So I know she had some scans and that must have been good reports, right? So we praise the Lord for that. She said, I had a good chemo week and didn't even get sick, which is a big praise the Lord right there, because that's been difficult for Terry. It's every other week that she has that. So thanks for your prayers and acts of kindness towards them. Other things here, Lily Kirschman, this would be Peg Ramus's mother. She turns 103 years old today. Yep. And she lives at our care center here at Menno. So I don't know that she really gets to watch the service. Typically not. Okay, I was going to say, otherwise we could sing to her, but she probably won't be able to listen to it. So that's quite something, Lily Kirschman. Also, she would be a sister to Laverne Wagner. Maybe most of you know that. Prayers for Betty Yank. Her and Delmer were down at, I don't know if it's in Branson or near Branson, where their son David lives visiting. And she took a tumble down the steps last week and broke both of her wrists. She had surgery Friday morning and had plates put in and is coming along okay, as good as can be expected. But so prayers for them. There's big challenges there. I was asked if we could pray for the SDSU Jackrabbits football team today. So we will do that. They are playing at 1 o'clock, I'm told, down in Frisco, Texas, in the national championship for the, what league? What? FCS, thank you, wherever that came from. Okay. So that is pretty exciting, really, for South Dakota State University. It is. Okay, Diane Calden, she's going to have surgery on Tuesday on her elbow. There's a pinch. What? Oh, Friday. Oh, did it get moved or it always was? Okay. Sorry about that. I wondered when you signed up for the salad supper Wednesday night, but I thought, well. So Friday is the surgery scheduled. I even have it wrong in the bulletin, I think. So a pinched nerve in her elbow, so we will be praying for her. Also, prayers for Lorreen Weidenbach. She spent about 2 days in the Scotland Hospital Monday, Tuesday, and came home Wednesday. Won't go into the details, but she is at home, just pretty weak, so be praying for her. I had a text this morning from Mary Lee. She had to take Milo over to the Freeman Hospital last night to the emergency room. So, and I won't give any more details there, but just be lifting them up in prayer. Also prayers for Phyllis Whale. This is Randy's wife and, of course, Johnny and Lori's sister-in-law. She has spent most all the week, I think, at McKinnon Hospital. And, huh? A while. Yeah, okay. She's battling cancer. There's an infection, they think, in the spine. They can't quite. They didn't find any. Okay. So just a serious situation going on there, though. Okay. Anything else over here? Is Kaylee Derby. Today is Rylan Derby's birthday. How old are you? 13. And Ashlyn, his sister's birthday is on Wednesday. And how old are you going to be? 11. All right. Well, now you got two teenagers in the house. Okay. Okay, anybody else on this side? Okay, over here. What? It was, yeah. Kevin and Ashley Holsworth had their 10th wedding anniversary on Friday. Happy anniversary to you. And what? Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Deb Christensen. Okay. Deb Christensen is expressing thanks for the prayers after her surgery, and good to see you back. We'll continue to pray for your recovery. She's also sharing about her nephew, Eric Christensen. His parents live in Viborg. It'd be Jim's brother's and wife's son, who is in the hospital in Colorado Springs. I told you last week he has COVID. He is a school teacher. And is on the ventilator and things. His son, who's in the service, did fly back from Germany. They did sort of lighten up the induced coma, lighten that up so he could respond some to the family this week one day, but then had to go back more medicated. So continued prayers for him, Eric Christensen. Okay. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you. So much to pray for that we always have. And your ears are always open. And you know every detail of our lives before we ever even come to you. But you tell us to seek and ask and knock. And so we do. We thank you for birthdays mentioned, anniversary here of Kevin and Ashley and maybe others coming. We ask your blessing upon each of these individuals. Lord, we're thankful for Deb Christensen coming through her surgery well and for your continued strength to her physical body. And we pray for her nephew Eric as he's in that hospital in Colorado Springs, a young man, I think in his early 50s, if I remember right. We just pray, Father, that you continue to work your healing power. Be with the doctors and medical science there as they do their part. And your power that is greater than all, we know that, Lord, that you would help to rid that virus from his body and strengthen his lungs and every other part of his being. We thank you for Diane Calden as she's got this surgery scheduled for Friday on her elbow. We thank you for going before her in that and just taking hold of the hands of the surgeon and all the assistants that helped to make this possible, that it will go well. Lord, we lift up Betty Yank and thank you for her surgery going well down there in Missouri, and we trust for continued healing in her wrists. We want to pray for Milo Hauk and Marilee both as he's back in the hospital, and for Phyllis Whale is also in the hospital. We lift both of these up to you, Lord Jesus. Be with the families. It's challenging for them as well, Lord. Thank you for your power being at work. Thank you with Phyllis for wisdom to the doctors there. If there's something that's not being seen, that you would reveal that to them. And we look to you on their behalf, Lord Jesus. For Lorene Weidenbach as well, we pray strength to her physical body, renewed strength, Lord, each and every day. Father, for the graduates here, Menno and Freeman yesterday, and maybe Scotland too, and this is the season for that, and we thank you for your blessings upon them and their lives as they enter this next phase. Lord, we do thank you for the moisture that you brought this last, I guess, Friday morning early it was, and for the crops that are in the ground, thank you for the more moisture that you will provide in your time according to your will, and we trust you for that. For those that are still planting, be with them and help the timing to work for them, Lord Jesus. We want to pray for the nation of Israel and that situation over there, so tense. Father, your word tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And there is much going on, Lord, and we know that that whole area of our world is very vital and important for all the end time prophecies. We know that you are working things according to your will and your timetable for the rapture of the church and then your second coming. And we lift that up to you. We lift those people up to you of Israel and Palestine both, Lord Jesus. Those that have lost loved ones. And we, for us here, I don't think we could even begin to imagine what it would be like living in a situation like that. But thank you that you never sleep. As Psalm 121 says, you never slumber, but you watch over Israel, your word says, and so you do. As we pray for our own nation, Lord, help us to be as earnest as we are with our prayers for the natural rain, even more earnest as we pray for the spiritual rain, the latter rain of the Spirit of the living God upon this land, upon our country, to bring revival and refreshing and healing to our nation that is so desperately needed, Father. We pray for our troops always serving at home and abroad, and we're thankful for everyone that serves and has served. Lord, for our state of South Dakota, certainly it is an exciting day with the SDSU football team and a national championship down there in Texas. And we do lift them up to you. Thank you for Coach Stiglmeyer. I know he is a Christian man. We've had him here at FCA years back. So guide them, direct them, help them to play to the best of their abilities today in this game. Lord, for any other thing that I failed to mention but you heard, we thank you for working in all of these situations. Oh, I want to pray for Frieda Nuss as well. As Lord, it's just every day a little closer to heaven for Frieda. And in your time, we know you will receive her unto yourself. Thank you for being with Dave and June and Landon and others that help and sit with her so that she's able to be at home. We thank you for these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 11:1. This is from the Amplified Bible. We'll be on this verse in the sermon. It says, "Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, or the confirmation of things hoped for. And it is the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses." Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing the doxology this morning. Lord, we do have so much to praise you for. In our lives physically, as we rejoice with Fred and Terry Seiler and the good news that she received after scans this week, we thank you for your power working each day in that situation. Lord, for blessings of health that we are even able to work. The strength you give us day by day. Father, forgive us. Sometimes we may grumble when we're getting ready for the job or for the duties of the day, but help us always to remember at least we are able to, for there are many who aren't physically even able to work. And we pray for them as well. But Lord, as we give to you, we give with joyful hearts, not grudgingly, not out of necessity, for you are our source and our provider, and all that we have is yours. So to you, Father, be all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Father, we confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ,
his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time. Okay.
Good morning, boys and girls. How are you today? Good, good. Well, who likes cake? Who likes cake?
Me.
Me too, and I've had a lot this weekend. And did any of you go to any places where you had cake?
Yeah.
Or cupcakes or cookies? They're yummy, aren't they? Well,
Sunday school.
You had cake in Sunday school?
I had a meal.
Wow. Yeah, good. Cake is really good, isn't it? Well, I want you to think, does this look like cake to you? But you know what? It's going to be a cake. I have faith that all these things are going to be a cake. What do you think? Do you think they're the ingredients, right? All of these things. I'm going to make a cake, I think. But does it look like a cake? But I have faith it's going to be right, not yet. And that's like what the scripture Pastor Mike just read, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So even though all of these things are going to be, are they?
Mm-hmm.
Not yet, right? Well, let's just dump some stuff in here. Here is baking powder. Here's some cocoa. Oh, and first, you know, I had to use my recipe. Any of you seen one of these before? Some of you have. Sometimes we don't even have these. Betty Crocker. No. Better Homes. My cookbook, and it has the recipe right here to tell me everything to do. Yep, and I got to add the sugar in there. All right, well, let's just stir it up a little bit in here. Is it a cake?
No.
But I have faith that it's going to be a cake, right? What else should I have in there? Some flour. Yeah, we need flour. Mix it up a bit. Yeah, I need some milk, too. Got some milk. Let's see here. See, this is what faith is. We don't always see things. We don't see the answers. Yeah, stir it up here. Hope I don't get it on anybody. You're going to help? Oh, okay. All right, hang on there. I'm not done yet. Okay, you guys, sit down. I'll come over there. All right, then we have to put in the oil. Put that in there. Let's see, did I get everything? Oh, no, baking powder. Let's put that stuff in there yet. Is it a cake? I need one more. Look at that. That does not look like it, but do I have faith it's going to be a cake? Yes, I do. You need an egg? Okay, let's see. There we go. Got the egg. Little bit of vanilla. Whoops. That was a little bit much. Okay, now we're going to stir it. I'll come over there. You sit down. Stir it. Oh, look. I got to get it in the oven. It's not a cake yet, but how come you guys are all saying it's a cake? But I have to put it in the oven. But you have faith it's going to be a cake, don't you? Yeah. Because we have the ingredients in there. And even though we don't see it's a cake yet, we believe, we have faith that it's going to be, right? And hopefully it will be later. That is just like what faith is, God says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So instead of having our cookbook here, I know. Well, I'm saving it for us. Pastor Mike loves to lick that stuff afterwards, so saving it for him. But boys and girls, we don't have a cookbook. Look. We have the Bible. And our Bible. Okay, sit down. I don't want you to touch it. No, we can't taste it. I'm sorry, we can't taste it. But just like I made a cake here, even though it is not a cake yet, we believe it's a cake, right? God gives us his word. And even though we don't see Jesus, do we see Jesus?
No.
No, can we see him? No, but we have faith that God, Jesus is God's son. He gives us the word. He tells us in here he loves us. He'll be with us. He has a plan for us. And we don't see him, but we believe, we have faith that he said it and that one day we will see him, right? That's faith. Believing even though we don't see. And all of us need faith. We need faith. And our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So you, even though you don't see it, even though we have some hard times and things happen to us and we don't always see the results, God promises that we will. Hold on to him. Boys and girls, this summer, when you have hard times, when you have good times, keep reading your Bible. Don't put it down. In fact, I would read it more because we have more time, right? We believe God said it. Let's pray. Fold your hands. Close your eyes. Father, we thank you so much for all these wonderful boys and girls. So excited they are. Summer is starting. Thank you for blessing them. And being with them everywhere they go, as your word has said it. We believe, Father. We have faith, and they do too. Be a blessing to them. Help them to bless others that they are around. Help them to remember every single day that you're with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right? We'll see you, boys and girls. Sorry, we can't taste the cake.
Thank you, Anne. I don't know if that's going to be cooked later on or not. We'll see. We're going to sing number 534 in the hymnal while the kids are going back to their seat. Learning to lean. That's what faith is, right? Learning to lean on Jesus.
Thank you.
Sounds a lot like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 to me, doesn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your patience with us each and every day. You are slow to anger, and you are merciful, and you are forgiving, and we certainly need that. Your mercy is new every morning, your word tells us, as we learn daily how to walk with you and how to live in obedience according to your word. And as we grow and draw near close to you, we do, as we sang those words, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed in you, learning to lean on Jesus. So as we look into your word again today, Lord, we pray and ask that you open the eyes of our hearts, the eyes of our understanding, and let us not be just hearers only, but doers of your word. And Father, I ask for the anointing of your Spirit upon me, that you would speak through me by your Spirit to each one gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be in this 11th chapter for a time. I'll just say it that way. But starting in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read the first six verses. Faith is absolutely important. We should all know that. Verse 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Amen. So, first of all, just before we get into this, the original readers of this, the letter to the Hebrews, Hebrew is another term for a Jewish person. I imagine we all know that, but if you didn't, it is. So this original audience would have been mostly Jewish people who had come to faith in Jesus Christ. The deal was that at the time of Christ, Judaism at the time of Christ had become based almost entirely on works. Could you keep the law perfectly or almost perfectly? It was a works-based system of how they thought they could inherit eternal life. And of course, that's not what Jesus is about. So he, in this book of Hebrews, was trying to teach these new believers that it is our salvation is not by works. It is by faith alone. And we know that. We know that very much. So really, the first 10 chapters of Hebrews, that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to these people and to us today. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, because in every way, Jesus is superior to the old covenant that they had lived under. In every way, he is superior. A couple examples in Hebrews chapter 8, we would find he is the mediator of a better covenant, the new covenant that we live under that was set into motion through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In chapter 7 of Hebrews, we'd find that his sacrifice on the cross was better than all the sacrifices throughout the Old Testament. His sacrifice fulfilled all of them. Chapter 3 of Hebrews, it states there that Jesus is better, and we know this because he is God in the flesh, but he's better than Moses and all those Old Testament saints. And so he is. Caleb, if you'd put that on the screen, please. So in our catechism, question 21, which is a great question and answer, I want us to, we'll read the answer together here in a moment, but the question is, what is true faith? So join me with the answer, please. True faith is not only a knowledge and conviction that everything God reveals in his word is true, it is also a deep-rooted assurance created in me by the Holy Spirit through the gospel that, out of sheer grace earned for us by Christ, not only others, but I too have had my sins forgiven, have been made forever right with God, and have been granted salvation. Amen. Now there's a whole lot in that answer, but just real quick, and then we'll get into the outline in your bulletin. So faith, true faith, there's true faith and there's false faith, right? It is that knowledge and conviction that everything God reveals in his word is true. It's more than that, though. That's why it's saying it's not only that knowledge and conviction, but that's what we proclaim, that everything God has revealed in his word is true, absolute truth. And we got to know that. We always have to know it. We have to know it especially now, more and more, it seems, in a day where we're told, well, there is no absolute truth. No, there is. It is God's word. But it is also this deep-rooted assurance created in me. I'm in me, in my spirit being, in my heart, created in me by who? By the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives us that gift of faith in our heart, created in me by the Holy Spirit through what? The kids, at least. Come on, confirmation kids. Created in me through the by the Holy Spirit through the gospel. Through the gospel. Maybe some of you were whispering it. I didn't hear it. Through the gospel, that's the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. All right? So out of sheer grace, in other words, we had nothing to do with it, did we? With our salvation, we had nothing to do with it. It's all God and his work. Okay. So living by faith, what? Faith defined, that's number one. A lot of you know this, you should, very basic. Faith defined, Hebrews 11:1. I have three translations there of it. NIV, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. New King James, this is how I learned it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you need a drink? Oh, you have water. Okay, sorry. ESV, the third one. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So saying the very same thing, just using some different words, isn't it? Evidence, assurance, being sure of what we hope for. A simple definition, the most simple, I could come with is just this. Faith is trusting what God has said and taking him at his word. That's faith. Trusting in what God has said and taking him at his word. Sort of like whatever Sunday that was. Oh, I think it was Confirmation Sunday. Anne's children's sermonette was on that line, and she had a little guy here. He wasn't from our church, but he was a family, and you that were here know it. She had him stand facing this way, and she was behind him. Jackson was his name, I think. She said, okay, Jackson, do you trust me to just fall back that I will catch you? Yeah. So try it. Well, you know, you go like that, right? Take the foot. No, don't move your feet. Try it. If you could just fall back into my arms. Well, he couldn't quite do it. Faith is taking God at his word. Trusting in what he said. trusting in the future that He has planned for your life. Faith is a gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says that. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this, going back to that word faith, and this, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not by works, so no one can boast. So living lives of faith, now maybe you never thought this, but I, in my probably in college and young adult years after that, I somehow got the thinking in my head that if I had strong enough faith, the difficulties in my life would be far, far less. I wish that was true. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. You don't think they went through great challenges and difficulties? They did. They did. And by faith, though, yes, they walked through them, but they were there. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Just like Ann showed the kids there with that batter, we call it. That's like the substance, naturally speaking. So I love that illustration. She's done it before in years gone by. We mix all that up. What are you making? A cake. That's the end result, though, isn't it? It's not what we start with. All those separate milk, sugar, flour, oil, egg, cocoa. Was there cocoa powder in there or something? Okay. And then the end result is the cake. But what? It's the evidence. So, I mean, the substance of things hoped for. Substance, you got a blank there, is the assurance or the confidence that what God said is true and it's going to happen. The evidence, that comes in with the conviction in our hearts, again, to believe. So, in other words, because of our convictions, we follow the instructions. Let's talk naturally. Because of our convictions, we read the instructions on the box, she did, or in the cookbook for that matter. She read the instructions, she did what it said, and then she's going to follow through with her faith to see the evidence of the finished product by faith. So with God's word, we read God's word, and the trouble is, the challenge is, we don't always follow the instructions. We want to change them up. We want to make them fit us. We want to make them fit our world today, right? No, wrong. Because of our faith in Christ, as we live on this earth, we try to live in many ways completely opposite from this world system that we are placed in. And we have to, right? Because of faith, we want to live according to how God's word says, not how the culture says and the world around us says. And a lot of times it feels like this. Now, don't do this, but let's say if I would ask every one of you here, I don't know what we have here today, 150-ish, I guess. I don't know. Who am I looking for? Who was up on top? Oh, there you are. Oh, it's pretty close, 155. So if I'd say all of you come in this aisle as tight as you can come and stand there, you're representing the world system, and you're coming at me, and I'm wanting to go that way, it's going to be pretty tough, right? Pushing and shoving, and you're not wanting to give, and you're crowd. It would be crowded if all 150 of us were packed in this aisle, wouldn't it? Together, tight, and I'm trying to go this way, and the world's coming out and saying, no, you go that way, and I'm saying, I'm not going that way, because God's word says this, and sometimes you get knocked down, sometimes I feel like I'm getting trampled on. At the same time, because faith is causing me to restrain from the desires of the flesh and the things of this world system that are not right, and as we're pushing through this whole flood coming at us, guess what? We're trying to grab some others along and tell them, hey, you know what Jesus says? He says this. And we can get people to come with us, right? Faith causes us to live against the flow and the stream, the flood, I'd say it, of this world system. Now, there's wonderful blessings in this world. I'm not saying there's not. There's this world that God created and the beauty for the beauty of the earth. We sing that hymn, don't we? But the world system is a whole different thing, because guess who is the God, little g, of this world system? It is Satan, the devil. We have scriptures that tell us that. So we push against it, and faith, that's how powerful it is, powerful enough to give us the strength to go against the grain of our own sinful nature that is always there, even as Christians. We go against the grain. And there's many examples we could talk about in our culture that we push against that. So faith, the just shall live by faith, Hebrews chapter 10 says. Second, all right, what faith? Faith's approval, verse 2. Faith's approval, NIV says this. This is what the ancients were commended for. New American Standard, it says this. For by it, faith, the men of old gained approval. Faith's approval, approval from God, right? That's what we want as we live our lives on this earth. Who were the ancients here? The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Abel, Noah, Moses, all the saints of the Old Testament who were faithful to God, men and women, through the rest of Hebrews chapter 11, if we'd read it. That's who he's referring back to there. These people, by faith, received God's approval. And they were commended. How about Noah? For example, now that's, I stopped in verse 6. Noah is verse 7. We'll get to him more in detail later, but just for this morning. What does it say about Noah? By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen. There we go. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, that was the flood, the judgment of God on the earth through the flood. What did he do? In holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So, was Noah just concerned about him and his wife? Three sons, their three wives, us eight, and no more. No, he was concerned about everybody around him. In that between 100 and 120 years that it took him and his family to build that ark, Second Peter 2 says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was telling them the whole time, judgment is coming. God's going to destroy the earth with a flood, the entire earth. I'm telling you, they laughed at him. They mocked him. Oh, get out of here, you crazy old man. We've never had rain before. Do you know that? They never have had rain before that time. Serious. Where do you get that? Genesis 2, 5 and 6 says, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth. This was before Noah. You come into later chapters in Genesis. And there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. So what caused Noah to build that boat in the desert? Because he was told it was going to rain and flood the earth. It was his conviction based on God's word. And so for 120 years, and even before that, he pushed against the world. And that what does God say about that in Genesis 6? It says, God saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. That was his conviction. God said, I've had it. destroy, and he didn't give up on those around him. As I said, he preached all the time. So what holds us steady? God's word, clearly his statement on marriage between a man and a woman. Boy, we push against the culture. A lot of times it seems like we're losing ground. And then it became legal in, 2015? Even when the states had passed amendments stating otherwise. And it only continues to go. And then comes the whole transgender, which was even before that, but now it's the big push. The big push. And we got Caitlyn Jenner, a.k.a. Bruce, running for governor in California. Well, she has the right to do that. I'm not knocking that. But and we're saying, no, God made them male and female in his image and likeness. He created them. Jesus said that. With the whole abortion thing, you know, life is precious in the womb, and God says that. And we're pushing, pushing, and a lot of times it feels like, are we gaining any ground? You know what? You keep swimming against the flow. Swim against the flow of this. That is what Noah did. And God did judge, didn't he? He judged the world at that time. And all was destroyed except for 8 people on that ark. And as you know, God shut the door. And you know what? I think he had to shut the door. Because when that downpour started coming and the water started rising, guess who was all knocking on the door? But it was too late. I would have been in there. I would have been like hearing, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I believe you now, Noah. I believe you. All right, come on in, come on in, come on in. Well, God's time had come. And that's how it's going to be with his second coming. With the rapture, the catching away of the church, yeah, that's the next event we're waiting for. That's one thing. There still will be 7 years for mankind to repent in there, the loss of their life for sure. But at the second coming, that's it. There is no, let me in. No, nothing like that. Why, again, all these examples in Hebrew chapter 11, it goes back what I started with. God is trying to show these people, these Jewish believers, new Jewish believers, that it's not by works. It is by faith alone that you come to Christ. Yeah, the works need to follow. The evidence of that needs to show up. Okay, third point here. Faith's illustrations. And that goes on with the rest of this chapter. Faith's illustrations. Verse 3, NIV, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith. I counted just sort of quickly through that chapter this week, so don't hold me on it, but 22 times I found that phrase, by faith, in Hebrews chapter 11. That's a lot of times. And you know what? He's the first example God is using to draw us all in to the rest of the story is creation. His creation. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. His word. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. So this, Hebrews, was written probably about 68 A.D., so you go back 4,000 years to the creation, and he's still saying then, and we're 2,000 years after that, right? You know what? By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, his word. Genesis chapter 1, read it. First day, and God said. Second day, and God said, and there was. Third day, and God said, through the sixth day, and there was. It wasn't over millions of years. God said, he spoke it into existence. And so, we come up to the last century, maybe 2 centuries, especially, and The wisdom that God gives to science in all areas is incredible, isn't it? The knowledge that has been gained even in the last 100 years is astounding. Faster all the time, all the time, all the time. Now there are some godly Christian men and women, scientists, who still take God at His word, and yes, the creation account as it is. But there's a whole lot that don't. The sad part that God has given this wisdom, His wisdom, to discover all these things, and then so many turn it against Him, saying, there's no God. No, how could creation happen like that, God said? We don't believe that, and if we can't see it or explain it, then it must not be so. And so they use all this wisdom to try to refute God. The Big Bang Theory, right? The evolution and all of that stuff. I had a conversation with someone not so long ago, a few months back, I'll just say it that way. And from our community here, we were talking about creation and that, and this person, I was talking about creation, and this person sort of got this surprised look on their face and said, you mean you don't believe in evolution? I'm like, you don't believe in creation? He says back to me, you don't believe in science? I said, God, give all that wisdom to the scientists to discover what they know. It sort of surprised me. This is a, I guess, an, if I learned this word in college, I had forgot about it. I maybe did. But neutrinos, I just have been reminded of neutrinos. You know what neutrinos are? It's not a breakfast cereal. No, we have atoms that are made up of protons and neutrons and electrons, okay? Well, guess what? Neutrinos are even smaller than that. They were first detected in 1955. I had to look some of this up. But I had heard someone was telling me about this recently, and I thought, very interesting. It is this, a neutrino, at this point, is the smallest subatomic particle known to exist. Doesn't mean it is, but it's the smallest subatomic particle known to exist today to man. So what I found intriguing was, well, so these neutrinos, they're given off from the sun all the time, all the time. They're passing through our bodies. They don't hurt us. But, of course, science, and good for that. I am not knocking science. What I'm knocking is when man takes science and uses it against God. That's what I'm disgusts me. So they're wanting to learn more about these neutrinos. So amazingly enough, I got to read this to get it right. In Chicago, a suburb of Chicago, this does involve South Dakota, so if you wonder where I'm going, they have this deep underground lab where they are going to be shooting these beams of neutrinos through the earth to guess where in the Black Hills, the Homestake Gold Mine, that lab. They have to go deep enough in the earth to do this so that they don't intermingle the neutrinos coming from the sun all the time, and they found the depth in the earth where those neutrinos do not go. So I said to the person, "What you mean like, I said, this is probably a stupid question, but did they lay a pipe from Chicago to the Homestake Gold Mine to shoot these things through?" He said, no. There in Chicago, they have, it's a particle accelerator. Pretty amazing, huh? In the Black Hills, in the Homestake Gold Mine, there is a neutrino detector set up there. I talked a little to Caden Fisher about this because he won a two-week whatever camp there at the Homestake Gold Mine sometime in July. So I'm sure he's going to get to see this. So they're trying to discover more about neutrinos, which, good, wonderful. But you know what? When I was reading on the internet about this, their goal is to prove that the Big Bang Theory is true. That's sort of, I was like, ugh. When I come to that part of the story, I'm like, seriously? No, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Period. It's that simple. That simple, so that what is seen was made, not made out of what is visible. That word I have in your outline, ex nihilo in Greek, out of nothing came everything. Out of nothing came everything. God said, and it was. And so we live in it. So, by faith, we understand that, and we believe it, and we know it. But even in that, boy, we're swimming against the flow. Most of the universities, evolution, Big Bang, all that stuff. Kids going off to college, you know it. We talk about it in confirmation in Sunday school a lot. You're going to be going against the flow of what's being taught, but you stand your ground. Last statement here, pretty much by faith, you know, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Guess what? By faith, we understand that Christ has gone and prepared a place for us in heaven that is better by far. Even though we have not seen it, we have not been there. That's what faith is. By faith, we know it's there. By faith, we know if we have loved ones who knew the Lord, we see them again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the measure, the gift of faith that you have put within our hearts to take you at your word, to trust you, to believe in you. And give us strength to go against the flow of our flesh and those fleshly desires. Give us strength to do so, Lord, each and every day. To live for you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the last hymn. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. What? Just to take him at his what? Word. Let's stand and sing this.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I
Amen. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. And as a prayer for our nation, let us sing, God Bless America. Be seated. Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful music. Ladies, remember Salad Supper if you haven't signed up. There's Vacation Bible School snacks. Please sign up for those. Have a wonderful day.